Today, will the spring flood the market? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to my latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctly Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wilkes. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Martin.
So, interesting times. Your surveys and my surveys both are saying that people are intending to list ahead.
It does look like it. I've been speaking to a number of real estate clients over here in New Zealand, and this is from a larger business perspective. And the activity levels that that their businesses are experiencing in terms of valuation numbers or market appraisal numbers, depending on what you talk about, and the intentions of sellers, look very much like we are going to see a sharp rise in new listings coming onto the market as we go through. It'll probably hit, I think, sometime during September, which is typically September, October, November is the period for New Zealanders to sell and move before we shut down at Christmas, which often December people stop listing at the end of November, and they don't really come back to listing until the end of January. Now, last year there was a rise in the availability of property. This year we've seen stock levels over winter actually quite high. Listing numbers haven't been that dramatic, but the stock levels of stuff that hadn't sold in the autumn and before winter, stock levels entered winter at quite high levels. It does appear, however, that from four or five clients that I've spoken to over the last 2 weeks, that there is now an expectation that we're going to see a lot more property. Now, unlike last year when we had, the post-winter blues were passed and people said, I'm going to get on with it and, let's move in the spring, which, sellers always think I'll move in the spring when my house looks nicest, when the flowers are out and there's a bit more colour and, you've got slightly longer days. But what I think we'll see this year is that we're going to see that come probably to a far greater extent than we've seen historically, and we're not going to have that foreign rush that we saw last year from the liquidity perspective. It paints I don't think anyone should worry about it. I think it paints some really good opportunities for people to move, because I believe there will be more stock, there'll be more choice, there'll probably be more opportunity for people to trade up the market. And if what we're seeing in Auckland with the value slides from the top down happening at a faster pace than you're seeing in the middle or at the bottom end of the market, the differentials are narrowing quite sharply. So could be a really, really interesting spring. But the big question is, are there enough first-home buyers there at the bottom end of the market to provide that initial liquidity for other people to trade? Because a lot of that top-end liquidity has gone. It's no longer present and correct. So, fun spring ahead, I think.
Well, we're seeing the same here in Australia, Joe. My surveys are showing that there are a few groups that are really thinking of selling. Property investors in particular, of course, that's about a third of the market. Quite a few of them are actually now finding that the rental streams are just not sufficient to cover the cost of the investment property, and the capital gains just aren't there because the capital growth is pretty much flat. They think that with the switch from principal interest loans from interest only, which quite a few people are going through at the moment here, which are putting the costs up, now's a good time to put that property in the market to essentially sell into the spring. And we also see quite a few people who are looking to trade down and believe that they want to release the capital they've got in the property at the moment. And, there's a slight wobble in the index, which suggests that maybe property prices are going sideways or maybe even slightly higher. So again, down traders are looking to sell. So I can see all of these people putting their properties on the market. I can't see who's going to buy them, though, because, overseas investors are just not looking here at all at the moment. There are a small cadre of first-time buyers, but many of them have already bought, and some others are waiting until the new year when, in fact, the government's going to announce another first incentive scheme to help further. And the up traders, which are the other side of the down traders, as it were, there are a few of them, but many of them are still sitting on the sidelines thinking, not sure yet. So it'll be really interesting to see the very low stock levels that we've had rise, and of course supply and demand suggests that as stock rises, prices begin to slide.
Yeah, well, we're going to have some other things that will impact us. We're now a few months into the removal of ring fencing of losses against personal income. Wasn't ever widely publicised. We ran our New Zealand has still been kept in the dark post, and that will, you know, the accountants will be doing their work now, informing their clients, and there'll be a lot of people who did purchase in the last 2 or 3 years where these investments never washed their faces anyway. So it was only the tax benefit that made it work. I have a feeling that there will be a few of those that sat on the sidelines waiting for spring to come. And wait for a busier market to get the houses listed. The big thing for me, though, is what pressure does this cutting the cash rate from Mr. Orr do to the motivation of those who are relying on their income from term deposits to fund a lifestyle in retirement when, you know, maybe they're not working as much as they used to be, or maybe where the difference of term deposit rates that were over 3% and a bit and are now dropping below 3%, what's that going to do to people's expectation? Now, we are talking about the risk of a negative interest rate environment, and it's being discussed in the press. So for the first time, the conversations that are happening out there. Now, that does create pressure. It's a different type of pressure to those who've got the debts already. They will be benefiting. Will it be enough for them to want to go out and spend in the real economy? Possibly, but maybe not. From the retirement perspective, cuts in income, you are going to draw back, and you're probably going to start thinking, well, I had $300,000, which was paying me a 3% return, and we were earning an income there to support our pension, but all of a sudden, you know, that income's a few thousand dollars less a year. What do I want to supplement? Another couple of hundred grand out of the house could be the boost to keep the income flowing. So we've got a really, really weird dynamic at the moment where the first time buyers are still being led to the slaughter. In my view, the advice that they've been giving, and we talked about in our last post, the reluctance of the banks to recognise the age of people when they're borrowing and how much they're borrowing from an income perspective and debt to income ratio level. But the balance is, okay, well, you keep cutting the cash rate. Who's going to, that's going to affect a first time buyer who's saving for their house deposit. It's absolute bugger's muddle we've entered.
Well, that's right. And it's interesting because there's about 3 million people in Australia who are reliant on income from term deposits of various sorts, right? And the surveys that we run suggest that quite a few of them will just hunker down and spend less because they do not want to transfer to higher risk savings alternatives, which could be the stock market, which of course has been up and down like a yo-yo over the last couple of weeks, and that highlights the risks, particularly buying in near the top, or indeed other more speculative investment ventures, including property. Some will, and it's interesting that the Reserve Bank here has quite often said people have to be prepared to take higher risks with their savings if they want to get a reasonable return now, which I think is a really dumb comment, by the way, but that is the nature of the beast. And now, of course, with negative interest rates potentially on the horizon too, where you might ultimately be having to pay to hold money in the bank, it just puts the whole equation up in the air. And I'm not sure that everybody is fully aware of how this is going to play out and what the dynamics are. But my own feeling is that if you are thinking of selling and you can find a greater fool to sell, it's probably not a bad strategy, because I think ahead the road is going to get more rocky, not less rocky.
Yeah, well, the extra stock that I'm expecting in the marketplace, and this is from almost every real estate company that I've spoken to in the last 3 weeks, that will provide the opportunity for debt growth, because there could be more transactions, but only if there are people prepared to prop it up from the bottom. I generally don't think there is enough, and I am going to predict now that we will see further cuts in the cash rate before the end of the year, and that may exacerbate the the income challenge that people are going to find who are relying on it for their savings. So I don't like predicting things generally, because I think it's wrong to go and put your hands in it. And I just don't think you can at the moment. But I think I'm confident enough to say that the voices in the from the banking sector and the banking industry, and the voices that we're now hearing from the regulators and from Treasury. I got really a bit disappointed the other day. I tried to, a friend of mine sent me a Trade Me, which is our eBay opportunity to bid for a dinner with Grant Robertson. And I thought, do you know what? Bollocks to it. Somebody needs to sit down with him and actually explain how our economy works and just give him a bit of insight. So my intention was to win the bid and then chew his ears off for a couple of hours. It'd have been the longest dinner he'd have ever had, I reckon.
Yeah, well, perhaps it's just as well that you weren't successful, Joe.
Yeah, well, I got outbid. I made the mistake of thinking that I was safe, and then I just got blown out of the water. Somebody in the establishment outbid me, just to stop me having a proper conversation. I'd have even flicked the waiter and waitress some money to say, look, don't worry, if the starters take an hour, it's not a problem. But no, so there's so much noise now, and I think that you can see it just around the marketplaces. I've got Nigel up in Tauranga. He went to some auctions up in Tauranga this week, and the quantity of houses that just are getting nothing. So a silent auction room where he said there was an afternoon where there were more vendors in the room than there were bidders, and over half the houses didn't get a single whisper. So that's all telling me that we are going to see another cut in the cash rate. I'm not sure if we will be at 0.75% before the end of the year, or whether it will go lower. It could do. We could see 0.5%, unless this stock that it looks like it's going to come onto the market in big numbers over the next few weeks, unless that stock creates the appetite for people to go and trade and take on a bit more borrowing. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting spring.
Could be a soggy spring, I think, Joe. So we'll keep a close eye on it. And watchers of the DFA channel will be the first to get the intel as to what's going to happen, because at least we tell it straight.
Well, we try to.
Good to speak to you again, Joe. Thanks for that.
Take care, Martin. All the best.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
It's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.